Support for KNKX comes from Friends of Waterfront Park, bringing people and communities together to ensure Seattle's Waterfront Park, the 20-acre public space along the downtown shoreline, thrives as a gathering place, honoring the city's natural beauty and stories. More at waterfrontparkseattle.org.
Hey, it's John Kessler here at Studio X in downtown Seattle with an exclusive studio session with Sugar Ray Rayford and his band. Mr. Rayford has been on our All Blues playlist for years. He's released 7 albums since 2010, won several Blues Music Awards, and his 5th album, Somebody Save Me, from 2019, was nominated for a Grammy Award in the Contemporary Blues category. We're very lucky to have him in our studios today for this performance. Please welcome Sugar Ray Rayford.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And it is so good to be here. Finally blacking out the sun. This next one is called No Limit to My Love. And Eric and I put this together. It's kind of schizophrenic. We wanted to take a beautiful love song and a bit of reggae and talk about gambling and put it all together and make some good music. I know it sounds weird. You know, just, you know, that's because I'm an artiste. Trying to make it do what it does. So this is called No Limit to My Love. I hope you like it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. to play the odds. Now look, I trust my good baby, and I've earned my scars. My daddy said, sunlight on my shoulder, fruit on my vine. Let's turn this water into wine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. This song is called Gonna Lift You Up. The album Human Decency and the album In Too Deep was actually just that, very deep albums. And I told Eric when we was writing, finishing the album, I said, you know, every song on this album, Human Decency, is, you know, it's touching on some real deep stuff. You know, I said, I want to leave people with a smile on their face. I've already made them think. Now I just want to make the booty move a little bit. So we had to come up with something that we thought was fun and energetic and, you know what I mean? You know, like cooking dinner. I can't just give you all spinach. I mean, I got to throw some meat in there and some, you know, maybe it's a sweet potato pie or something when you're done. I mean, you know, I got to. So this is the sweet potato pie of the album, and it's called Gonna Lift You Up. I hope you like it.
The mountain's steep and you feel stuck. Don't be brokenhearted, the world is just in flux. Keep on moving, y'all. Don't you ever give up. Go lift you up. When you're feeling low, go fill your cup. Yeah, yeah. Go let it flow. Listen. The road ahead looks awful tough. The mountain's steep and you feel stuck. Don't be brokenhearted, the world is just in flux.
That was really fast. Should we do one more?
Yeah, man. Sure. We're up for it.
I mean, I came all the way from Spain to be here. So it's like three songs. Let's do one more. This song was written by Eric and I, and most of this was taken directly from my journal that my lovely wife started me keeping some time back. I don't always write in it, but I try to. I spent 10 years as a United States Marine and dealt with a lot of PTSD and stuff like that for years, and she could tell you about it. It used to be really bad, you know. Nothing like laying in the bed in the middle of the night and I'd jump up out of the bed and go check all the doors and walk through the neighborhood and make sure everybody was good, and it was crazy. So I hadn't talked to anybody about it, and except for Pam, she knew, a few other people my brother knew, but I just always kept it to myself. And I wanted to share it so that other guys that felt like me could feel good about it and feel like talking about it. And it's one of those things that people don't talk about until they're ready to talk about it. So don't force them. Just love them. If you have somebody in your family, give them all the love, respect you can. And when they're ready to talk about it, they'll talk about it. You might not really want to hear it anyway, but they'll talk about it. Anyway, this is what this is for. And we're going to try it, and hopefully you like it. And like everything, even though I write something serious, it's got to be funky, and it's got to make your booty move. Invisible Soldier.
Staring at the ceiling.
Sugar Ray Rayford. All right, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I still feel like playing, though. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's got just a few questions. The rest of you guys can go to sleep. So you've had a lot of different jobs in your life. I've been reading about you. And you started out as a child. You were playing drums and singing in a gospel group at age 7?
Age 5.
5?
Yeah. Okay. 5 years old. At 7, I started... It started allowing me to work with the what we call the Sunshine Band, the really young people putting that together. That was my first directing job. But I started playing drums like 5 years old.
So what was that? What was that like for you?
Oh man, gospel. First of all, it saved my life a lot. Like with my grandmother, you know, I had grown up off and on living with my grandmother, and the funny thing was, I knew all these incredible musicians and singers. The funny thing was though, back then I didn't think they were incredible musicians and singers, you know, they were just, it's the way I grew up, you know. Every organist I knew played 10-finger chords, the bass line would play with the foot, and they sang. Yeah. That's just, everybody, that's what they did. Every drummer I knew, you know, it was just the way that we played. It was just the way music was done. It wasn't until I joined the service and didn't play music for like 15, 16 years until I met my wife, who probably regrets it now. She's the one to push me into music again. She probably like, damn it. And she, don't tell her that. She always like, yeah. But she did. So it gave me a great foundation that I didn't even realize I had. You know, it gave me a work ethic, being with my grandmother and being in the music and being around so many great professionals. But it also did something that a lot of musicians who are trying to become artists don't have. Even when I left the church, by the time I left the church at 18, musically, I pretty much knew who I was, what I could do, and what I wanted to do. I just felt when I went into the military was there was no future at that time in music. And ironically, while I was in boot camp, one of the biggest Baptist churches, I went to a Church of God in Christ. I don't know if y'all know what that is. That's holiness. It's holiness or hell. They say, them holy rollers, baby. Speaking in tongues the whole night. Playing till 3 o'clock in the morning. It's just crazy. But one of the biggest Baptist churches, and I hate to say this, but it was that way, biggest white Baptist church. While I was in boot camp, actually contacted my grandmother, and they had wanted to come in and make me the young minister of music, where they would actually have paid me good money to make their choir. They wanted their choirs to sing like these black folks' choirs. And what I mean by that, you got it wrong. What I mean by that is, it's not that they couldn't sing. They could sing great, but our choirs never sang from a book.
Right.
They memorized the songs, and the choir director's job was to direct the choir to wherever he wanted them to go. And they really loved that, and they wanted to do that. So I was kind of like, I guess you would say the Kirk Franklin. Before there was a Kirk Franklin, this was back in those days. So, yeah. So it was great. But I got to see a lot of great artists that, you know, again, when you're young, you don't realize the Shirley Caesars, the Mighty Clouds of Joy, the Jackson Southern Arrows, the O'Neill players, you know, Dr. Mattie Mouse Clark, I got a chance to work with a few times. So didn't realize until much later just how important these people were. To me, they were just folks that I knew, auntie this or uncle that, you know, that's just where it was.
So then you joined the Marines when you were 18, and you pretty much, you kind of said this before, you left your music life behind.
Yes.
And then 10 years in the Marines, you came back to the States. You started working security, had your own company, and then you kind of also started to answer this question, but how did you get drawn back into being a musician?
She's laughing. That's a weird thing. I met my now wife at one of the clubs that I was a bouncer at, and it was a live band club in Carlsbad, California, and it was one of them things where it was this rock band, and I can never remember their name, but they used to play like every once a month or something. They were doing that song, "Been a Long Time Since the Rock and Roll." You know, I didn't know the song. I didn't know, I never heard that song. That's devil music, what it was, but, you know, a song is a song and a melody is a melody. And so he was trying to impress a bunch of cute girls down front. And so he was doing those screams and whatnot and all that. And somehow or another, I ended up with the mic. Like, he was just kind of like, yeah, whatever, like, you know. And so, again, I didn't know the song. I just made up something, but I know the melody. A melody is a melody. Yeah. So after I did that, everybody in the club was just kind of looking at me like, that's the bouncer dude, man, you know. And my wife was like, at that time, my friend, she's like, you know, you should do this. Your whole soul lights up when you do that. And I'm like, yeah, but you can't make no living like that. I got bills to pay, woman. And I was working 3 jobs at that time. And, you know, you have to do what you have to do. Raising my son and doing all that. But she was persistent, and when we got together, she was very, very persistent. Like, you know, like, I come home from work, and she literally would have signed me up to a blues jam somewhere an hour away. She's just like, we're going out. Okay, I jump in the car.
we ended up some blues club in Orange County or wherever. And I walk in and they, Rayford. I'm like, how the hell they know who I am? She already signed me up on the list and all that. So she kept doing that. And so finally, some of the people that I knew at the club who wound up being some of the greatest musicians in the world, again, met so many great musicians, and I worked with so many, and I didn't know who they were till much later. But at the time, we called a band called the Urban Gypsies with a lot of big name cats in that, and it was an R&B band, and we did corporate gigs, and you know, we were like one of the staple bands in San Diego. We even had our own night every Thursday night at the Belly Up and all these different places, and it was fun doing that, doing the covers, doing all the Marvin Gaye and the Earth, Wind & Fire, all that stuff. Yeah. It was fun. McFadden and Whitehead, we did it all. But I wanted to do original stuff. I did get them to do one original song called Butt Naked, but that's a whole nother story. That was really the name of the song, Butt Naked. You remember that, Pam? But, yeah, that's the way that kind of went down. And after that, I was talking to my friend of mine, one of the musicians' father. His name was Jim Marino. And Jim Marino, God bless his soul, was one of the original members of the Ink Spots.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know who the Ink Spots were. I learned. And he was just like, Suge. At that time, they didn't call me Suge. They just called me by my name, Karan, or Ray. He's like, man, you know, if Pam was with us, man, it was Pam and I sitting down in Carlsbad. He's like, you know, you can really do this. You need to do your own stuff, and you could do it. You could make it. You could go. And I was like, whatever, man. It's a pipe dream. But, you know, I'll give it a shot. So after that, Pam, again, signed me up for another jam in Temecula, California. And that's where I met my friend Jimmy King. And then came back the next time and met Dwayne Hathorne. That's when I became a member of Aunt Kizzy's Boys, because I loved the way the blues sounded, because it sounded a lot like gospel. You know, even when I was bouncing on Wednesday nights, across the street from me was a place called the Coyote Bar. And every Wednesday night, the alley. They had a big bay window up front. Every Wednesday, they had a great blues band in there. This guy's name was, I always remember his name, Ronnie Lane and the Texas Twisters. Yeah. And those guys would come in and play. And their bass player, Tim, did something for me. He gave me a paperback book. I remember it was like this. And this paperback book had 15,000 blues songs, the words and the music.
Wow.
And I used to just go through this thing and just look through it, and then Pam would find songs that she loved, because we were doing tapes back then. It wasn't CDs.
Yeah, yeah.
It was tapes. And Pam would find songs, and we would literally go to the jams and sit outside in the car and listen to the song. So I memorize it, and then I go into the jam and try to play it. So that's how I came.
And then you started writing your own material.
Yeah, I was encouraged. Believe it or not, so funny is even when I was with the Urban Gypsies, I had written some stuff. We had written stuff. I can't remember the name of the band, but it was me, James East, the brother of Nathan East from Clapping Order. James East was in our band. Me, James East, and I can't remember the other guy's name, and Nucci Cantrell. We had written some stuff, and little 3-4 song EP, soul funk kind of, psychedelic stuff. But it was just fun, so. But writing your own stuff, even with Aunt Kizzy's Boys, if you go look at those albums, I think we did a total of 3 albums, Trunk Full of Blues, It's Tight Like That. No, that's it. Trunk Full of Blues and It's Tight Like That. And a Trunk Full of Blues, I think I wrote 3 songs, and then on It's Tight Like That, I think I wrote 7. So it was fun to get back to writing, start writing.
Yeah, you're moving in that direction. Yeah. So,
I get long-winded and I'm tired.
No,
so
it's
feel
good.
Free to cut me off.
No. I just got a couple more questions. So you don't shy away from politics and social injustice in your music. In fact, your most recent album, Human Decency, kind of the whole spirit of it is. Do you see yourself like having a role in?
Not really. That's why I don't really put it up on Facebooks and Instagram and all that. I believe religion and politics is something that needs to be talked one-on-one. It's not something that's supposed to be. At least that's the way I was raised.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like voting. You vote. Don't ask me how I vote. You know, you can tell me about the color of paint in my house, but how I vote is my privilege, my right. I feel the same thing with politics and religion. As I've gotten older, my politics has changed a little bit, but mostly for me, I've always been, because my grandmother taught me that way, and it's just the way I am, is trying to bring people together. What I'm trying to do is just open people's eyes and people really realize that it's just one people.
Yeah.
All this other crap is just that crap. You know, I always tell people look at me strange when I tell them, say, there's only one color in this country. There's only one color in this country, and that's green. And I don't care if you're black, white, Puerto Rican, Spanish, Jewish, whatnot. If you ain't got it, you on the other side. If you got it, you on this side. Yeah. So all that other crap is just crap to keep you busy and keep your mind focused on something else while you're being robbed blind, which is not going to get into it, but come on. But
That's so my politics are always been straightforward and whatnot. But if you listen to the music and you see what I'm writing, you see what the world what they're about. I'm trying to bring people together most of the time. That's my thing, is bring people. Now I do have some opinions about some things, but overall, it's about trying to unite people and bring people together. From the world we live in to now human decency to In Too Deep to Somebody Save Me, it has always been trying to bring people together, because I believe you can't make anyone do anything that they don't want to do. But what I can do with great thing with music is put that little earworm in your bug or earworm in your ear, so that when you're sleeping at night after you done did something you know you weren't supposed to do, that you at least think about it.
Yeah.
Think about what you're doing and think about who you're doing it to and what is the real motivation for you doing that.
Well, so. part of your magic is that you do your music does have a message, but then you also are making people dance.
Well, yeah. I definitely wanted that.
That's part of your formula.
It is part of the formula. Just like, you know, even though I'm tired tonight, you know, part of the formula is I'm 6'5", I'm 300 pounds, and when I walk on stage, people expect me to just stand there like a lump of wood. But anybody that's ever seen me know that I'm going to shake it down like my mama gave it, because that's part of the show also. And it's entertaining, you know. And I've said that about blues, and hope I don't get in trouble, but I've said that about a lot of great blues guys I've met over the last 20 years. A lot of them are great players and great singers, but they really, some of them have gotten so steeped into the mysticisms and such that they've forgotten to entertain.
Yeah.
Entertaining is not just sitting there playing or just sitting there singing. You need to entertain. If you go back and look at Muddy, go back and look at Wolf and those guys, and not the sterilized stuff, go back and look at their extra shows. They entertained.
Yeah.
So my job is to entertain. That's why I stand here flat-footed. I'm one of the few guys left in the blues world that does it. There's no guitar between you and I. There's no keyboard between you and I. It's just you and I and the vocals, because that's what blues is about, telling a story. And you tell it from here. So, but you got to entertain. I don't think a lot of people today entertain. Some of them play very well, but they don't entertain.
Well, again, congratulations on all your successes. And come back and see us the next time you're in the Northwest. Sugar Ray Rayford, everyone.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it, y'all. Thank y'all for coming out. Truly appreciate it.
Real honor. Real honor.
And give the band a big hand, too, please. You go feed them and put them to bed.